tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's February 17th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. The big news over the weekend were all the new protests at Tesla. Tesla was hit by a wave of protests over Elon Musk's behavior, and sales are crashing while insiders are waking up. There's a great article by Fred Lambert. He goes into a lot of detail, but I'm just going to focus on the fact that groups supporting the protests, like Anonymous, say that it was just the beginning and plan to keep putting pressure on Tesla to, in turn, put pressure on Musk. As we previously reported, Tesla sales crashing in Europe, where they release monthly sales data. In the US, the data comes quarterly, and therefore it's hard to tell just how much Tesla sales are being affected by the negative perception of its CEO. But these protests against Tesla are undoubtedly unprecedented. We have often highlighted how Tesla's board of directors, which does have authority over the CEO, has been entirely silent on this situation, letting Musk do whatever he wants, including spending little time at Tesla while running X, XAI, SpaceX, Neuralink, The Boring Company, and Doge. While the board remains silent, it sounds like there's finally some pushback among Tesla insiders. The Washington Post has obtained a recording from a recent staff meeting at Tesla where some have openly expressed concerns about Musk. Quote, employees and senior managers at a recent staff meeting at one Tesla division openly expressed concern that Musk is damaging the company's business and sustainability mission, according to a recording obtained by the Washington Post. Tesla's employees spoke to the Post about rising beliefs among the ranks about Musk, quote, tarnishing the brand. Now, whether you agree with Fred or not, you have to kind of admit we are talking a lot about Tesla these days. So, hey, maybe this is one of those there's no such thing as bad publicity kind of things. I don't know. But in other Tesla news, Tesla's full self-driving approval in China could be used as a bargaining chip in the ongoing U.S.-China trade war. Tesla is waiting for the approval of its supervised full self-driving system in China, but a new report claims that Chinese authorities are considering using approval as a bargaining chip in the ongoing trade war with the U.S. The situation makes Tesla's FSD approval in China even more critical, and it looks like the Chinese government is taking note. A new report from the Financial Times claims that China is looking to use FSD approval in the country as a bargaining chip in that trade war. Quote, Chinese authorities are contemplating using the approval of Tesla's autonomous driving license as a bargaining chip in trade negotiations with Trump. That's according to two people with an insider knowledge of the delay, adding that this was the main reason for the holdup in granting the permit. Tesla has repeatedly been told there is no definitive timetable for regulators to approve a license. According to the report, the approval is unlikely unless the U.S. backs off with its tariffs. China, obviously the most critical market right now for Elon Musk, not only because it is one of Tesla's biggest markets and the largest automobile market in the world, but also because it's the only major market where Tesla sales aren't down. But that doesn't mean that they're not facing stiff competition from local car makers, including BYD, which has confirmed plans for EVs with all solid-state batteries to begin rolling off assembly lines in 2027. And while it's still going to be a few years before they reach large-scale production, here's why BYD believes that this time it's going to happen. At the second annual China All-Solid-State Battery and Development Summit over this weekend, Sun Haozhuan, the CTO of BYD's battery business, Shenzhen BYD Lithium Battery Company, revealed an updated timeline on the company's progress. According to Sun, BYD expects its first EVs with all solid-state batteries to arrive in production in 2027. The first 2 years, between 27 and 29, will serve as demonstration phase with limited production. In 2030, BYD expects the new battery tech to be adopted on a large scale and plans to begin mass production by then. In its initial phase, around 2027, BYD will use sulfide-based solid-state batteries that will mainly be used in higher-end vehicles. Sun said sulfide electrolytes can last longer, offer faster charging, and are more stable. A local report last November claimed China's Tattle was also developing sulfide-based all-solid-state EV batteries. And while that's great for BYD and certainly something that other Chinese car makers and brands that want to succeed in China will be taking a look at, that doesn't mean that China is the only market where serious competition for Tesla is underway. Kia has finally pulled the covers off its new EV4, and here is our first look at the low-cost EV from our own Peter Johnson. Kia's next big EV is just days from its official debut. Ahead of its EV Day event next week, Kia just dropped a first look at the EV4 electric sedan production version. As you can see, the EV4 is a near replica of the concept shown in 2023. The extended silhouette and low nose give the EV4 an almost sports car-like feel, and it even gets an additional roof spoiler. Like all its new electric models, the EV4 is based on Kia's Opposites United design theme, featuring sharp, bold lines and slim LED headlights. Kia says the EV4 is aimed at a broad demographic with a modern and advanced new tech stack that resonates with lifestyle-focused buyers who are eager to explore. The EV4 is Kia's take on a mass-market electric sedan and is being seen as a potential Model 3 challenger. The EV4 will officially debut next week at Kia's second annual EV Day on February 24th. Kia will unveil the EV4 and EV2, its smallest and most affordable EV from the lineup. Although Kia will reveal prices much closer to launch, the EV4 is expected to start around $30,000 to $40,000, depending on the market. In comparison, a base Tesla Model 3 starts at $42,490 with 363 EPA estimated mile range in the U.S., not including the $7,500 tax credit. We expect the EV4 to be somewhere between 350 and 375 miles of range once it gets that EPA clearance. Now, if you just can't wait for any of these hot new EVs coming, or you're not convinced that the tax credits are going to stick around much longer, hey, there are other ways to get into one of these, and some of these are outlined here in this article that I published last week. All the best EV and PHEV rebate deals we could find for February 2025. This is one of those things that's pretty self-explanatory, but I want to explain a point about rebates. A lot of people, especially cynics, will look at these things and say, hey, there's $15,000 on the hood, there's $10,000 on the hood. That must mean these vehicles aren't selling or the dealers are trying to get rid of them. It doesn't necessarily mean that. One of the things that happens when you're trying to buy a vehicle is that you, in most cases, are going to need financing. Very few people walk into a car dealership with a full check. The issue arises when you don't necessarily have the best credit, or you have negative equity in a vehicle that maybe you bought in 21 or 22 when dealer markups were all the rage, and now you're $5,000 or $6,000 underwater and you can't come up with the money to meet that down payment requirement or get out from under the negative equity. These rebates, even though they may be seen as artificial markup from the OEMs, will help dealers get buyers to overcome those obstacles. If you're coming into a trade-in deal with $5,000 negative equity and you have maybe $2,000 to put down, you're negative $3,000. So that's what these rebates are really all about. They're a financial tool that experienced car dealers can use to help make a deal. So if you're dealing with negative equity, if you're dealing with poor credit and you got another kid on the way, you need a little more room, you need something a little newer, a little more dependable, take a look at this list, call your local dealer and see if there's something that can be done. Because again, most of the time, there is some way to make it work, but you may have to be flexible about what vehicle you get. But hey, there's Mercedes-Benz, there's stuff from Stellantis, there's Jeeps on this list, Hyundais, Fords. Definitely check it out. It is worth a look if you're in the market for a new vehicle. And one company that's definitely in the market for stuff is apparently Cummins, because they have bought the hybrid heavy mining equipment experts at First Mode. They've acquired that company. They've had their eye on hybrid powertrains for a long time, and they are now offering a commercially available hybrid retrofit kit to heavy equipment and mining operations and light rail. It effectively makes it a drop-in kit that can be put into any other new vehicle. The Cummins brand in the U.S., of course, is synonymous with diesel, and they're making big moves in the zero-emission space with their Accelera brand and now the purchase of First Mode. The acquisition includes the rights to all of First Mode's IP in the mining and rail space, where the company has developed a full portfolio of energy-agnostic powertrains that can draw power from internal combustion engines, hydrogen fuel cells, or batteries. And because the First Mode hybrid electric vehicle retrofit, that's a mouthful, is designed as a modular platform, it allows equipment fleets to either back out of the electric drive conversion or take them a step further, going to full battery electric operation with the same level of relative ease. That sort of flexibility will help Cummins meet customers where they're at, whether that's OEMs or fleet managers at multi-billion dollar mining operations. This acquisition is an important step in our goal to lead our power systems customers through the energy transition. That's according to Jenny Bush, president of power systems at Cummins. With First Mode's hybrid retrofit technology, we are accelerating our ability to provide decarbonization solutions that meet miners' needs to drive down operating costs, today. And if all of this sounds familiar, that's because we've covered something like it before. This massive excavator, that's an R9400, was converted to battery electric power by Liebherr at the Fortescue mine in Australia. This, again, is a diesel-powered vehicle that was converted to run on battery power. This is exactly what Cummins is talking about doing, and it's been successful in Australia. The project was so successful that it's moved over 1 million tons of earth in just a few months, leading to $4 billion in similar vehicle orders from Fortescue, making that the largest single EV order in the history of electric vehicles. That's all we've got today for February 17th. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss any more.